Boker Tov, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Thank God, Ilan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
I hope you had a very, very good Purim.
Oh, I had the best time in that party. It was really nice. And there was good attendance. Everybody was happy. There was no alcohol, but it was good.
Baruch Hashem. You know, sometimes, you know, just the fact that you have everyone's together and everyone's enjoying themselves and happy and eating, and that's the alcohol in itself.
Yeah,
right there.
That's better than alcohol.
Yeah, no. So, you know, I got to tell you, it was very, very beautiful to see. You had, you know, all walks, you know, all different parts of the community coming together, you know, enjoying Purim, hearing the Megillah, enjoying the food and the festivities of Purim. It was really, really beautiful. You know, we had over 130 something people.
That's great. That's great.
It was Baruch Hashem. It was phenomenal. It was really, really good. You know, and for me, the Purim was one long party from Wednesday night to Thursday evening.
Yeah, I know.
Wednesday evening we had the Megillah reading and the Purim party at the synagogue, the shul. And then at 9:30 following that, we had a Megillah reading and a Purim party at my house for all the students.
Yeah.
So that went till, you know, very late, I think till like 1 o'clock or so in the morning. And then there was a doctor on call in the hospital that couldn't get away, and he wanted to hear the Megillah. So at about 1:30 in the morning, I went to the hospital to read him the Megillah.
Yishar koach, that's a big mitzvah.
And, you know, I said I couldn't go to sleep knowing that this person wanted to hear the Megillah would not be able to hear the Megillah because I was lazy, you know. And then, you know, in the morning, Thursday morning, we had a Megillah reading in the minyan, in the center. And then in the afternoon, was the big Purim in the Wild West. So it was literally one party to the next. But it was beautiful. Purim, the greatest holiday. And what I thought was really, really, really nice in the Purim in the Wild West was seeing the amount of kids that were there, you know, and so many of them were dressed up, and they were able to, you know, tell everyone what they were dressed up, and each one of them got a prize. Just the fact there were so many kids, I thought was beautiful.
Yeah, it was lovely. Good, so Parashat HaShavua, Vayachel Pikudei.
Vayachel Pikudei, yep. We're finishing off the second book of the Torah, the Shemot.
Shemot, yeah.
So on Shabbat we're going to say Chazak, Chazak, Venit, Chazek.
Yeah.
So we should continue going strong and doing what God wants us to do, in other words, the Torah and so on. And we see in this Torah portion that Moses assembled the people of Israel and reiterates to them the commandment to observe the Shabbat, and then he conveys God's instructions on how to make the Mishkan, and the people are going to donate the required materials, the gold, the silver, the copper, the blue, the purple, you know, the red, the dyed blue, the goat hair, so on and so forth, everything that was needed to be brought. And an accounting is made of the gold and the silver and the copper donated by the people for making of the Mishkan, and everything has to be accounted for, exactly what was being used, what was brought in, what was given out, in other words, what was being used to be able to make whatever was being made at that specific moment. So everything was accounted for in what the Yidden and what the Jews were bringing, which is a very, very important thing. Transparency and accountability. That was a big issue, and Moshe set that up, that when they were bringing it, that they knew exactly who was bringing and what was being brought.
Yeah.
Now, no doubt that all people, honorable people, would welcome every genuine effort to stop corruption and dishonesty in whatever society we live in, corporate, governmental, personal, whatever it may be. However, are we really we worry about that so much now. But we're really not the first generation to really worry about that. Because if you look, as we just said in this historical portion, not in the first part, but in the second part, it's today, that everything that was brought to Moshe, everything was accounted for. And was used towards the building campaign of the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And the contributions of gold, silver, and copper were all weighed. Not only were they accounted for, they were weighed, they were totaled, that no one, the reason being, was that no one should be able to cast any eye or question the integrity of Moshe and his team, saying that, oh, Moshe really got 100 things of gold, silver, so he tells us, but really he got 200. Moshe didn't want that. Moshe wanted that, Moses wanted that everything that would be brought in should be accounted for, that no one should have that conspiracy that he might be, taking something.
Yeah, and more than that, there was such a good response that Moses had to tell them to stop giving.
Correct. Everyone gave. No one expected that there was going to be such an overwhelming amount of donations. You know what? I would tell everyone that should be our today's day and age. That should be our biggest problem. That we tell everyone, we have too much money. Stop giving.
Yeah.
You know, all the Jewish organizations can say, we have too much money. Don't give us any more.
So that was a good fundraiser.
Exactly. We should all learn from Moshe. Now, in fact, the commentaries derived from this episode that those in charge of communal charity funds should likewise hold themselves always accountable. Because we all need to be innocent in the eyes of God and in man. We've got to take a lesson from Moshe. Everything that we do has to be accounted for. And in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of Our Fathers, it reminds us to consider that one day we will all face ultimate accountability. Each of us will stand before the heavenly tribunal to give a, as it says in Hebrew, a din v'cheshbon,
yeah,
a full justification and accounting for the way we lived our lives. And it's interesting to note that in the Talmud, in the Gemara of Shabbat, it talks about not only Shabbat, but a lot of different issues, that the Talmud was able to get a wind of the actual questions which will be asked by the supreme, by the tribunal up above. And everyone, you know, the first question that is going to be asked is not, did you believe in God, or, you know, did you fast on Yom Kippur? The first question, as it says in the Gemara, is going to be the final question, is, did you deal faithfully in business? Not how religious you were with God, but how you can... Were you honest and fair with people? Were you honest and fair with your family?
Yeah.
With your customers? With your partner? And the second question, however, does go to the heart of our Jewishness, and is going to be, did we set aside 6 times for Torah study? And it would appear that familiarizing oneself with the Torah and becoming a knowledgeable Jew is the key that opens the door to everything else in Jewish life. Because being ignorant is not an excuse, it's not an answer. We have to be able to know and understand our role in this world, our religion, our Judaism. The only way that we're going to understand it is by learning the Torah. And how are we going to learn the Torah? You know, we all have very, very busy lives. Every day is a very busy life that we have. But we have to be able to set aside time to be able to learn Torah. You know, they say, which prayer out of all the prayers, you know, we pray morning, afternoon, and evening. Which prayer out of all the prayer times is the hardest and the most rewarded, if you want to say that? And that's the prayer of Mincha, the afternoon prayer, because it's the hardest time of the day to get away.
Right.
The morning prayer, you pray in the morning, very good, 7 o'clock, 7:15. After that, you go to work. Doesn't disturb you there. The evening prayer, you finish work, whatever time it is, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever time you finish your work, you pray evening service then. Very easy. the afternoon service, and that's in the graveyard. Tearing yourself away from the day-to-day grind of things, tearing yourself away from the office for a couple of minutes, and going to then pray afternoon service. That's a harder thing. So it is not an excuse or ignorance. And we find many times that our most brilliant legal minds, attorneys, advocates, judges, they may have never ever opened a single page of the Talmud, which the Talmud is Judaism's classic encyclopedia of law. Or, you know, that the greatest doctors may completely be unfamiliar with the medical writings of Maimonides. Maimonides is the Rambam.
Yeah.
He used to live in Cairo, in Egypt. He became the doctor, the viceroy of Egypt. I mean, he was a huge doctor. He wrote the book, The Guide to the Perplexed. So that he was the greatest 12th century physician and scholar.
Yeah.
Or that even our brightest business magnates remain Jewish in ignorance. And an example to this is, ignorance doesn't help, and it's not an answer, is because, look, I'll give you an example. For example, when it comes to crossing a red light, the ignorance of the law is no excuse. No traffic cop will buy the story that the driver didn't know that it was illegal to go through the red light.
Yeah.
In our day and age, so many new opportunities for Torah study, Jewish ignorance just doesn't wash, it just doesn't go. We can't be ignorant. You know, if the Talmud if the Talmud remained a closed book as it was once, you know, it was only in Hebrew and Aramaic, we can understand. It's hard for us to learn the Talmud. We're not literate in it. We can't. That's impossible. But now, the Talmud's available in English. There are teachers that a person can go to. We have, if you're not able to go to any lessons, the internet, you're able to learn on the internet. You can even find yourself a virtual rabbi on the internet. So we have to be able to make sure and take an accounting and be transparent in who we really are, that Judaism is truly alive. And the way that it's going to be alive is how we act in our day-to-day life. In other words, that we take the Torah as part of our lives. And we have to make sure that when the cop in the sky pulls us over to ask a few questions, we should be able to answer it right away without any hesitation, without any doubt. And that's what this week's Torah portion teaches us. Moshe was teaching us that you're giving me all this money, I am going to be transparent, we're all accountable for what we're doing. The same thing is in our day-to-day life. We have to be transparent and accountable to what we're doing. And if we want to be able to have the answers when God asks us what we were doing, how we acted with people, then we have to be able to live our lives in that structure that we are able to answer it without any hesitation or without any question. And that's what this week's Torah portion teaches us.
That's nice. So this week, actually yesterday, because the listeners listen in the morning and this is a recorded interview on Wednesday night. So today, around noon, there was something new in the community. Can you tell us about it?
I'll fill you into the secrets. We started a new program in the community. It's a Jewish Professionals Lunch and Learn, where a lot of professionals in the community, lawyers, accountants, doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, businessmen, regardless of the background of who the person is, we started a Lunch and Learn. And every 2 weeks, we will be doing it, in other words, twice a month in different office buildings, in the boardrooms where we have lunch and we go through an interesting topic. For example, this week's topic was ethics of insider trading.
Okay.
And thank God it was a good success. And, it's open to the entire community. It's a good way for Jewish professionals to network with other Jews as well as grab a bite and learn something. And for anyone that's interested in finding out more in regards to where the next week, where in 2 weeks, where the next lunch and learn will be, as well as what the topic will be, they are more than welcome to email me, Windsor Rabbi. It's a very easy email address, Windsor, W-I-N-D-S-O-R, Rabbi, R-I-B-B-I, so there's two R's in Windsor Rabbi, at gmail.com. And I'll be more than glad to forward that information in regards to what we're going to be doing in 2 weeks, in regards to where it will be, as well as what the topics will be. Open to the entire community.
That's great, and that's exactly what this parasha is dealing with.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how professional you are.
He's setting aside the time, once a week or twice a week or whatever it may be, to learn a little bit of Torah, regardless of your affiliation and regardless of your background.
And knowledge, yeah?
And knowledge, correct.
That's it. So, Rabbi, what about Shabbat services now with the change of time?
So we are praying Friday evenings is at 7 o'clock and Shabbat morning is at 9 o'clock. So instead of 6 o'clock, we've moved up the evening service an hour ahead.
Good.
The hour moved ahead. We've got to move up an hour ahead as well.
Yeah.
So
Rabbi, I wanted to thank you.
Thank you. And as we said, that, you know, Chazak, Chazak, Venit, Chazak, you should continue to keep on doing what you're doing and inspiring people through what you are doing, which is music, which is an inspiration or a pen of the heart, and giving the opportunity for people to learn once a week, setting aside time that they know every morning, on a Thursday morning at 8:30, they're able to learn a little bit, is a big schut, as they say, it's a very big merit.
Yeah, it is. So Rabbi, Shabbat Shalom. And
you too, have a great week.
With God's help, we'll have you next week on the show.
God willing.
Thank you.
All right, be well.
Be well.